Thank you, Bill. Thanks for, first of all, an invitation to come here and present on this one. And all the three talks we before to this one, very interesting one. And what you learn from the North America, we have a lot of potential to bring that to the Middle East, where the scarcity of the resources is much, much higher than what we have here. So my talk will be on the more into the what things is happening in the cropping systems in the Middle East. And we know about all the dry lands, where are those dry lands, and this is talking about the tropical and non-tropical dry areas and all the CG centers, and looking at that like a non-tropical areas where the most of the poverty and water scarcity, and we're going to have the double impact of the climate change expected to, as per a scenario, so that 3 degree temperature increase and 30% of the precipitation decrease, so that we have the tremendous pressure there. And so what are the challenges? Basically, it's the population growth, of course, there is, and also there is a huge the yield gap, and also the gap in the production and consumption. So anywhere between 55 to 85 the million tons of the yield. So we have the tremendous pressure there, while the natural resource is lacking tremendously. And we have, there is a challenges all over, where the innovations and integration is lacking, and huge vulnerability of these cropping system to the climate change. And of course, there is intensifiable the systems, and there is a lack of the measuring impact. So this is cut across the scales. So whether we can do it at the small scale of farm level, or look at the regional scales. And of course, the water resources, that is what we can just look into, that the most of these areas, and the huge water scarcity, and especially in the MENA regions. And I just focus on the MENA regions where, so huge, what we see, a lot of the climate variabilities here, increasing the deviation from the long-term averages, and the frequency of the droughts is happening. I just give you the example of the last year, and look into the precipitations and ET anomalies in the last year. And what is this from the Gabriel, he's doing on the USGS, sorry, USDA. And then this year, we are completely, last year is a flooded, wonderful cropping systems, we have huge yield. Then this year is completely drought. There is no crop at all. So that this is happening so frequently. So this is how that's going to impact. Just looking to NASA's the recent study on drought in the Middle East is one of the worst in 900 years. And then we look, I just look into the one we are maintaining the climate stations there in the Aleppo, Syria. And you see this, the drought is not a new phenomenon here, but the factor is like a 90s drought, but a lot of the resources where the groundwater is there, and the population is little populations, and the gap of the food production supply was very little. And but in the recent ongoing drought trends, where the war is triggered, you can look into the Aston Leather, the best rainfall we received here is in the 2003. After that, continuously is dropping the rainfall. So then it was the lack of the groundwater depletions, and then there is a prolonged drought and huge the inflation of the food due to the gap and supply. So that's where the ticker. So we do not know what's going to happen the next year, and the most of the climate models will tell about what's going to happen after 20, 30 years, but we do not know what's going to happen next year. So the huge challenges we are facing there, and the shift in the cropping systems. I just look into the very nice scenario. Okay, so where are those shifts happening? So just looking into in the growing seasons, you're just looking into before the sowing season starts, and where the precipitation, the stored soil moisture, so it's going to happen changing. So just you can look into the spatial pattern. And it's subsequently decreasing the soil store water. So basically, it's a delay in the onset of the monsoons, or what you call the precipitations before sowing. And that is continuously increasing. And you can just look into that, subdivide these into the 3 decades. I just give you the example of look into the 80s and 90s, then there is not much variabilities. But in 95 to 2005, that is mid-decades, where there is a pretty good seasons and everything's happening fine. But in the recent decade, so 2005, 2015, you can see where the Syria, all the unrest and war is started because of the depletion of the moisture available to grow the crops. So this is happening. This year, it's supposed to be a rain, couple of the rain this time, and the sowing season should be started. But still now, there is no single rain there. So basically, it's completely, there is no crop is seeded so far. So how that this is going to, the tremendous, the drought, the pattern and seasonal variability is going to impact the cropping system. So we'll have to look into that one. So how this, the more crop per drop scenario is going to help? Well, there is no water at all. And whether we can, the multi-dimension integrated systems where we can bring it to inch of land and the bunch of the crops, where we are trying to look into that. What are the cropping system better suited to these systems and changing the water efficiency? And then we try to address that, so try to map them. So where are those, the special, the pattern, where the loss and gains of the productivity, and we look in the long term, the variabilities in the cropping system changes. So then where are those gaps in the loss and gains of the yield? So this is where we are trying to address that, whether within the, that is existing within the landscape or within between the farmers or within the farm variabilities. So this is very, very prevalent across the Middle East and North Africa the regions. So then looking into the, like a lot of the talks taking the fallow areas, how best we can intensify the fallow areas, the crop diversifications, whether we can change from the traditional cropping systems or we can bring it to legumes and the balanced cereal into the, those fallow areas by identifying the low, medium, high productivity zones and where we can target that the particular crops is growing there. So then we can bring to the those like a pixel-based and the data collections and citizen science and farmers' interventions, how that one year is different other year, how best you can learn from the crop rotation, cropping system changes there, so happening. So just to give you an example of the, not only the crop and associated the trees and livestock systems, and in the MENA region, look into that like we are the small remnant populations were headed by the my colleague, the Barbara, into looking into that one. That's huge pressure on the landscape. It's not just only the cropping systems and huge pressure on the natural resources and rangeland systems. And while those rangeland system is highly degraded and depleting, so that brought already the tremendous shift in the livestock population. Just you can look into that. I just take into the example of the livestock population density for the 2005 and also 2010. And in the past, I'm not showing the entire the big regions picture. And the livestock grazers, small ruminant, used to be grazed in different locations where the forage is available. And just you can change in this 5 years the pattern and see that. So it used to be like a wider spread, those populations. Now they are, the livestock is more close to the agriculture production system. Mostly they depend on the crop residues. So there is a shift is happening here, but I'm not showing the Central Asia picture. That is another, the complete shift is happening there, migrations. How that the depletion of this the natural resources and land degradations is very prevalent in the regions, and that brought a trouble in the Fertile Crescent, where the cradle of the civilizations, most of all the forage and the food crops is oriented there, and we have the big trouble there. So how, I just give you the example of there. So this is then the transportation of the desert in the Saudi Arabia, which the extracting a lot of the groundwater aquifers to grow the crops. And then we did some study, interesting study, that one, like looking at the wheat, the grain yield, and the production and profitabilities. And the growing the wheat in the regions is not profitable, and better they import the wheat from the outside, that is much profitable then. So that the last year they stopped growing the wheat, then they switched to the alfalfa and corn and switched grass to make into the milk productions more into the prevalent. And again, I try to compare that, how that is the changing in the agriculture productivity, again looking back to the ET anomalies from the long-term mean. And this is the situations before any outbreaks of the civil unrest in the regions, and this is now. So this is this huge shift happening there, and how that's going to cope up with the changing the weather, climate variability, and demography in the regions. I just give you the example of here, some zoom out the locations where between the borders, and see that how this shift is there. So there is, it's not just like only the climate is going to happen there, it's like a management aspect as well. In the same regions, and where the management bringing in so that increase the productivity, but while others then decrease the productivity. So there is huge variabilities. Just give you the example of again in the near to the Aleppo, the Syria. I not did any analysis. Just took the satellite picture of the same seasons, so before the war outbreak and after that. So looking, that's completely the collapse of the cropping system there. How that's going to happen, then how, what they change this one, they cannot grow the more into any commercial cash crops, but they are moving into the mostly the like a staple crops and food crops, as food grains, and especially the vegetables, those things. So is how that's going to change. It's not just only the climate variability that's happening there. You can look at natural vegetation, it's gaining, but the all the cropland system is collapsing. So, and again, I'm giving another example up in the Middle East, North Africa. So they're like in the taking the Jordan, where the grassland was dominant, and there is in the, around 80s and 90s, the introduction of the policy to grow the barley. So that gives the incentive to grow the barleys, and then they started, the barley started entering into the pristine grassland ecosystems, and then there is subsidy to they grow more barley, and also introduce the goats and the sheep to this one, so that they're giving the incentive to farmers to the introduce the more goat and sheep, so that brought the more and goat sheep more than the carrying capacity. It's like usually the 2 to 3 goats can sustain in the carrying capacity there, but they introduce about 8 to 9. So that leads to the complete devastation of the pristine agro ecosystems. And now there's basically the, some barley grow there, and most of the grass can become a barren there. So that leads to a lot of the changes in the cropping systems in the regions. So then you can board the some olives is, of course, there. More resilient, so they're coming up well. But again, all the barren and degraded landscape is increasing there. So that not only just the climate is impacted there, it also lack of the management aspect there. So there's a huge the yield gap there. I'm just showing the GPP here and looking into the fertile crescent. So what you can see is the grain yield. So in the regions, I'll just give you an example here. So this is based on the BPM and the satellite-based modeling of grain yield. So what you can see here, the most of the areas in the regions, and even receives the more than 450 millimeter rainfall in the Euphrates Tigris River basins, and all are, the yield is less than 1.5 tons per hectare. So there is huge yield gap. There are a lot of the low-lying areas. If we just change the pattern, you can bring it to agronomic practices, the high-yielding varieties, the change in the policies. So what is just, I can calculate it the total area and yield in this, what you can see in that, the Fertile Crescent, the Euphrates and Tigris River basins in the Middle East and North Africa. And see, this is what I have now. And if you change into the, you can bring what you can see, all these brown areas, you can sip that, you can bring into the high yielding, this I'm briefing that one just to give you the scenario development, see that the how much is increased. You can just changing all the low lying areas where less than 1.5 tons hectare of the yield, you can bring them into the at least like a 3 to 4 tons where this, because of that there is a the rainfall is about 500 to 700 millimeter rainfall, that's high potential. In the same reason you can bring it a Mediterranean climate in the Europe or in the US or in Australia. So they're going at 350 to 450 millimeter rainfall, they produce 4 to 5 tons the wheat. So we can't do that here. So this is, if you do that one, so basically we have reached one of the goal of the sustainable development goal, double the agriculture yield, the water productivity. I think that is still is a dream to be achieve the double the yield within the next 15 years. And 2030, that is the target. At least you can just try to look in the low-lying areas where there is a lack of the agronomic practices there. You can bring those, the variety and improvement into this one. At least you can 5 to 20% of the gain. So this can be, you can then basically, you are targeting to where are the low-lying areas, the yield potential is there, so that you can bring it to the high production areas. So that's where we try to bring back to those are the resilient cropping system, basically like a dryland cereals and legumes. So where we have the, bring the balance between the ecosystems and soil nutrient balance as well as the livestock management. So that integrated farming systems is the way to go there and where we have the gain coming from. So this is where we look at the different options there and what we learn from the North America and in US and in Australia. So there's huge potential. You can learn that a lot of the cropping system, conservation agriculture practices, and that is one of the major issues there in the dry areas. What you can see the previous presentation that a lot of the stubbles and the residues left in the field. But if you do that one in the Middle East and most of the small grazing ruminants, they graze out completely. But still there is some residues left out to conserve some soil moisture. So there is a huge potential to bringing back the agronomy where I see that a lot of the gains. Of course, there is some genetic gains is there, always like a pest and disease is going to be increased more, and we need to have the drought tolerant, where my colleague, the Hans, is going to talk on that one. Drought tolerant to varieties, and the wheat and barley, the huge potential because of the increasing precipitation there, and also there's like the pest and disease risk, especially the wheat, the stripe rust, and those are going to be prevalent in the region, so that harvest, the genetic gain is still there. But the most of the lack of the improvement required is the bringing it from the agronomy. Of course, there is socio-economic policy change, it's required. So this is what we call avoid the unmanageable and manage the unavoidable. So thank you. I think this is a multiple factors. One is the farmers is using the time of planting, and there is the resource use efficiency. Basically, someone is a fertilizer, someone is not using fertilizers, and they're using the different varieties, and also like the land leveling. So this number of factors. We went to that one, we can identify that from the estimate sensing. Look at why one farmer next to other farmers. I guess this is the one picture just going back. So this one, looking at this one, like one farmer, next farmer is almost like a double yield gaps. And we went back to that one, we look into that one, this number of the reasons there. It is a land leveling, laser leveling was not there, all the resources coming in one way. And also they were looking into the varieties they adopted. So this is the number of factors. This is where we see that there's a huge yield gap within the farms, between the farms. Okay, for the answer for your first questions, yes, ICADA does work in Qatar as well. And in the vegetables, I'm not sure on that one, because most of the ICADA is working on the barley, lentil, and chickpeas. Of course, recently there is some white pollinators crops. There's the colleague, Stephanie, is working on some of those areas. And the water program people, they're working on increasing the water productivity, like poly houses, to grow the vegetables. Of course, they're doing it, but I not have how much who else is working on the vegetables. But there is Saudi Arabia and Yemen and in Dubai. And in Abu Dhabi, so there is a ICADA one project working on the poly houses for the vegetable, basically cucumbers they are working on. I'm not sure on the tomatoes yet. Okay.